Chapter 23. I sat across from Ron Murray's desk as he shuffled some papers. "Jackie isn't here today?" I asked to get the conversation going. "No," he said. "We're having a guest for dinner tonight, and she's out grocery shopping." "Have you reached a decision on the document I gave you, the one Miss Evangeline and I signed?" I asked.
"If no one contests it, and in the absence of a will, it should hold up," he said. "No one from the Carver farm has been to see me, Ned. Maybe nobody was lurking around the corner after all, the night she talked to you about this."
He picked up the paper in question and thumped it with his finger.
"If one of the Carvers had come to see you, that might just point the finger of guilt at them, mightn't it? If our conversation was overheard when Miss Evangeline and I signed that paper, somebody would know she was planning to consult you on it, and by coming to you, it would make him look guilty."
He nodded.
"You probably don't know that my dad and I were in the firm together when I graduated from law school. Then Jackie and I moved to Oklahoma City. I set up practice there, and she taught school. We came back to Edna Lee after Dad passed away."
I hadn't realized Ron had begun his law practice with his father. This had happened while I was in Atlanta.
"I've been putting a lot of his old records into the computer," Ron said. "However, there was a fire a number of years ago, and some records were destroyed. Dad kept a ledger, and he had jotted notes about transactions, some transactions I can't find anywhere. For instance, there was Judson Carver. One of Dad's entries mentioned he had drawn up an irrevocable trust for Judson, but I can't find a copy of it anywhere. So I'm guessing it must have been destroyed in the fire."
I leaned toward his desk. "Irrevocable? Does that mean it can't be revoked? Ever? Would it override Miss Evangeline's wishes?"
Ron drew a deep breath and frowned. "Depends on the wording. And if it can't be found, it wouldn't matter anyway. I've checked the bank. You'd think the bank president would have a safety deposit box, but I guess he didn't. He was a suspicious old man, didn't trust anybody. My guess is if that document still exists, it's hidden somewhere in his house."
This was stunning news. I thought about the grand old mansion. How many rooms did it have? Was there a basement? An attic? Had the Carver relatives found the trust and destroyed it? Would that have been to their advantage? I had to find out.
"Look, Ned," Ron said, "I know you want to help. I know you have an oversized bump of curiosity. But leave this alone. Don't you realize that murders are committed with far less at stake than a multi-million-dollar estate? Let's just let this rock on. What is that ancient quote? The wheels of justice turn slowly, but grind exceedingly fine. Let the law handle everything surrounding Miss Evangeline and her will, or lack of one. You didn't know her. You shouldn't be concerned at all." Feeling like a chastened younger sister, I stood up. Why did I want to get to the bottom of Miss Evangeline's death? Why did I want to make sure that her estate didn't fall into the hands of her murderer? Because the more I learned, the more I knew that some evil person had snatched life from an old, helpless woman, and maybe that same person had murdered her housekeeper as well. To my way of thinking, her cousins who lived on the estate were the chief suspects. I was determined that a murderer would not profit from his evil deed.